May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 987. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows the joyful sound. 987.
This morning is from the book of Numbers, and we'll read chapter 22 and a few verses of chapter 23. Numbers chapter 22 and a few verses from chapter 23. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know, that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam, and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me then. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honourable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honour, and thou wilt do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she spake unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to promote thee to honour?" And Balaam said unto Balak, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. We then read in the first few verses of chapter 3 how they made seven altars and made the various sacrifices. We begin to read at verse 5. "And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Indeed, the reading there, may God bless his own word to us and help us each to pray. Kind and ever gracious Lord God Almighty, once again thy day returns, and how quickly the time passes from one week to the beginning of another. Oh Lord, we do pray that we may not, as it were, rush heedless into thy house, but that we may be indeed prepared for the services of thy day. Oh Lord, we come from busy scenes even onto thy day or into thy day. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and grant that calmness of mind and spirit to fit us to approach unto thee. Lord, may we come in that spirit of desiring to worship thy holy name. Lord, thou art worthy of endless blessing and praise. Now we need to come with that thankful heart, lifted up unto thee for all thy goodness. In all the busy scenes of our lives, Lord, may we not forget to acknowledge thy goodness, not forget to praise thee for all that thou hast done for us. Lord, we thank thee for the opportunity to meet together once again on thy day. We thank thee that this is a time when we may rightly lay aside the other cares and concerns of the week. Oh Lord, we need thee to drive out those thoughts from our minds. We may be removed from those things physically. We may spend the day physically, outwardly, in a different way. But, O Lord, thou knowest how our thoughts are so often drawn aside, and so many distractions enter our mind. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt drive out these things and that we may spend the day profitably in the services. Lord, we beg for thy presence throughout. We ask that thou bless the reading of thy word. Or may we acknowledge that this is indeed the word of God. And may we give it the reverence and the respect that we should do. Every word of it is from thee. Lord, do bless the hymns that we sing. Do guide those who have the responsibility to select them. Oh Lord, may it prove indeed to be thy choice. Do thou go before in these things, to unite our hearts together, to sing them with the heart and with the understanding. And Lord, we pray for thy help in speaking in thy name. Lord, thou knowest the burden and the responsibility that we feel to speak only thy word. Lord, do make that clear and plain. Lord, do give the application of it in the hearts of those that hear. Lord, this is something that only thou canst do. We pray that that influence of the Holy Spirit might be felt even in each heart. Lord, it would be nothing with thee in that sense to bless every soul. We do pray that it might be so. Oh Lord, we know that thou art not constrained in any way. We are not to limit thy power. even in our prayers, not to pray with a doubtful heart. Lord, do come mightily and bless thy word, we do pray. Lord, we do ask that wherever thy word goes out this day, and sincerity and in truth, whether it is preached or read or broadcast, however it may be, Lord, that thou wilt own and bless it. Do grant that there may be those evidences that thou art working with thy servants and the signs following the preaching of the word. Oh, Lord, we desire this, that it might be to the honour and the glory of thy name. Oh, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all glory and honour. So, Lord, do help all that are sent with that word today, those we know and, as it were, commend individually to thee, so many more doubtless that we know nothing of. Lord, do help each one and bless them, give them strength and wisdom to handle this matter rightly also. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember each here for good. Lord, we have come with in different ages and therefore different circumstances, different situations in our lives. Lord, we may be very different in that regard, one from another. Thou knowest. Lord, we thank thee that thou knowest what we have need of. Sometimes when we do not know quite how to pray, we do not know really what it is that we need. Lord, we would rely upon thy word that thou knowest. And Lord, thou hast said, my God shall supply all your need. So Lord, do grant that blessing to each soul. We do pray that all might hear it, as it were, in their own language. Oh, Lord, it may be simple things. It may be different things, different parts of the service, different parts of the word. But Lord, do grant something for each one. We do pray for the children and the young people. Lord, do be with them. We do pray that there shall be something that they may understand and retain that may be for their good. It may be now, or it may be in years to come. But Lord, that their presence here may not be in vain. But Lord, that though they may have come because, as it were, they have been brought by parents. But Lord, that there may be a purpose in it, that they shall receive thy blessing, receive teaching and instruction in their souls. Lord, that they might be manifest as thine, even in youth. Oh, Lord, we read what a blessing it is to bear that yoke in our youth. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with them, guide and direct them as they set out in life. Do bless their education and their learning. And may they be prepared and fitted for whatever is the future. Lord, thou knowest these things. We may be ourselves perplexed as to what they may have to do, but Lord, thou knowest. Do use the things even now to prepare them for their futures. Lord, we do pray for all of every age. We pray that thou would give wisdom to parents and grandparents and the wider families. Oh, Lord, how we all set an example of some sort to the young, and indeed to one another. Oh, Lord, do help us to set a good example, to be true witnesses to thee. Oh, Lord, may we not, by our disobedience and our rebellion, give cause, as it were, to others to likewise rebel. Oh, Lord, it is recorded of that one we have read, Balaam, that he taught others to sin. Lord, we pray that that may not be with us. Lord, it is so if we are left to ourselves. Lord, we pray for a more abundant measure of thy Spirit, of thy influence in our hearts, in our lives, that we may shine as bright lights in this dark world. Lord, do help those that are older. We do pray that thou wilt be with them. Some may spend much time on their own, but Lord, may they not be truly on their own, but with thee. Oh, Lord, may thy presence and the comfort that that brings be very much felt and very much a part of their lives. Lord, we do pray for whatever the different needs may be. Lord, we do not know, but we pray that thou wilt give that which is for their good, for their profit, providentially, but especially spiritually, that it may be souls that are blessed this day. Lord, we do pray for those who are absent, some we understand on holiday. Lord, do be with them, and may they be refreshed and rested when they return. Bless them where they meet this day, or where they worship, wherever that may be. Others on other trips away, Lord, we pray for them, that thou wilt be with them and return each home in peace and safety in due course. Lord, we pray for one we know of, there may be others who are unwell. Lord, do restore and heal, we do pray. Do grant that though unable to meet in thy house, that still it may be the Lord's day felt and experienced in their hearts, that they may still draw near unto thee. Lord, we bless thee again that thou art in all places, and especially on this thy day, all places where thy people are. Lord, remember those who are persecuted for thy name's sake, whose lives and experiences are so much harder than ours are. Lord, we would be thankful for our mercies, but we would not forget them. We pray for strength to be given and grace to withstand all that man does to them or threatens to do. Lord, may their light still shine. May they still show that faith in thee. Lord, that the heathen, as it were, of the world might see it and take notice that there is a God in heaven, a God watching over his people. Lord, do grant peace, if it may be thy will, where there is so much warfare and destruction and hatred. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bring these things to an end, and that men might dwell peaceably together. Lord, it is in thy hand. We see so clearly all these things are beyond the the power of men. But Lord, thou art able to control all these things. I do pray that that peace and safety that we have so largely experienced in our own country might be continued to us. Lord, we have the reminders not to take it for granted. We should be diligent to lay these matters before thee. Lord, do remember all who are in authority over us. We pray that thou wilt guide and direct them in all the different decisions and matters that they face. Lord, how great is their responsibility to do what is right. Lord, we ask that they may acknowledge their need of wisdom from thee. Lord, there are many counsellors, as it were, here below, but so often their advice is contradictory. But Lord, thou who knowest all things, do show them what they must do, what is right. Bring them through these things, we pray, and bring our country through these things in righteousness. Remember our Queen and her family, and do bless them and keep them safe, we ask. Lord, we do pray then that thou art now look down upon us here in thy mercy. We come as a company of sinners before thee. Lord, we would be delivered from that spirit of Balaam who said, I have sinned, but clearly did not really feel it, had no true repentance in his heart toward thee. Lord, perhaps all of us here have said, I have sinned. We acknowledge that we are not perfect. Oh Lord, that we should be led by thy Spirit to feel it in our heart, to truly confess it unto thee, to know what it is to have broken thy law, to have turned aside from thy commandments and thy word. Oh Lord, it is no small matter to impress that upon our hearts, we do pray, that we may come in all our need unto thee. Lord, as one has said already, we depend upon thy mercy, though by very definition we do not deserve it. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt wash away our sin and our guilt, that we might be cleansed, that we might be made clean in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. 247.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant us his much needed help. Direct our thoughts this morning to words you'll find in Numbers chapter 22 and the latter part of verse 18. Numbers chapter 22 and the latter part of verse 18. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. We have read a part of the account, and it's actually quite a long and detailed account if you follow it all through the next few chapters in this book, the account of Balaam. Balaam was, as we know, a false prophet. He was evidently very well known in his generation. As I understand it, it was a long way from Moab, where he lived, so clearly his reputation, as it were, went out over a wide area, and it was thought worth it by Balak, the king of Moab, to send all that great distance to fetch Balaam to come and to curse the people of God, the children of Israel. It would appear he was had in that high reputation. Sad, really, when it is considered that he evidently, and I think this is quite clear, not only in the account that we have here, but the references to Balaam in the New Testament, it is quite clear he was a false prophet. But as we find, before we come back to it in detail, but we find in the words of our text, he spoke in many places, he spoke the truth. He did speak the word of God. And that's very, very solemn, isn't it? Balaam knew a great deal about God. He spoke to God. We read of it, God spoke to him, he spoke to God. As I've said, he spoke in many places the truth. We almost, not quite, but almost, we can't find fault, as it were, with what he said. But what he did was very different. Balaam really is a very good example of a hypocrite, one who says one thing but does another. Now, Balaam was very clearly aware that he was subject to the power of God, that he could only say the things that God gave him to say. He knew that Balak wanted him to curse the people, but as we read, he said, "How can I curse those whom God has blessed?" He knew that his own power was limited. But it did not stop him, as it were, trying to get around the word of God. It may have puzzled some, perhaps especially the children, why we read in this passage that God, first of all, God said he was not to go with the messengers from Balak, and he didn't, so that was good. But then Balak sent others, more numerous and more princes of a higher power, as it were, and they came and they offered this bribe, really, didn't they, to Balaam, that he could be promoted to great honour. God said to him in verse 20, if, and this is the crucial word, I think, for our understanding here, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But in the next verse, it's quite clear Balaam didn't wait to see whether the men would come for him or not. He rose up. He was so keen to receive this bribe, this reward, that he did not wait. And so he rose up in anticipation of the men, and he went off with them. And that is why in verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. He had only been given permission by God to go if the men came to call for him. And therefore, of course, God sent the angel to stand in his way to hinder him. Sad that the beast, the ass, was given the power, as it were, to see that angel where Balaam saw nothing to begin with. And you find continual, I think it was four times in our reading, but there are even more times if you follow the narrative through the remaining chapters, where Balak constantly says, I cannot do more than what God has permitted. I can only speak the word that God has given. But I say his actions were very different. And although he said those words, let me die the death of the righteous, you find that in fact his death was fighting against the people of God. Now, it's very important for us to consider, and I believe the Lord has laid this word on me for some time now concerning this service today, to speak of obedience. That is really what we have before us here, isn't it? I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God. But especially this is what was so important to me, so powerfully laid on me, to do less or more. In other words, we are obliged to do exactly what God has said. And there may be some, and I know what this is, so I say it in love, but there may be some who would not, as it were, presume, could not think they could go beyond the word of the word of the Lord to do more. But are you doing less? We have that solemn account in the Gospels, don't we, of the Lord cursing the fig tree. And remember why that fig tree was cursed. It wasn't because it was bringing forth rotten fruit, was it? It was because it was doing nothing. It did nothing at all. And that is to do less than the word of the Lord. So perhaps there are some who are taking refuge in this. Well, I'm not doing anything presumptuous, as it were. But are you doing anything at all? I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. We must obey the commandments of the Lord. It's in my thoughts, God willing, to speak more of the things that the Lord does command. And of course, we can only touch on a few things, but the things that the Lord has given me to speak this evening, but this morning particularly to consider this subject of obedience. Now, I may well have referred to this before, I don't know. It's a very clear illustration to me of this point concerning King Saul. He was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he failed to do that. And you remember perhaps how that Samuel came to him, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, consider it. Don't brush it away, but think about it deeply. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken. Hearken's not I suppose, really an everyday word, is it? Hearken means not only to hear, but to put into practice, to heed the word of God, to do it as well as to hear it. And to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, and that's what disobedience is, isn't it? You can't dress it up and well, you can, and you can maybe you can find some more acceptable words, but that's not the point. At the root of disobedience is rebellion. God has spoken, and we don't do what we should do. We do less, maybe, or we may do more. The Pharisees, of course, went way beyond the word of God with their traditions and so on. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. The refusal to do what God has made clear is as iniquity and idolatry. We would be appalled, I'm sure, all of us, to be have anyone come to us and tempt us to join them in some kind of witchcraft. You'd run a mile, as we say, from that, wouldn't you? So obviously sinful, so obviously something that we cannot get involved with, should not, must not get involved with. But if someone comes, and it may be the devil or any instrument, as it were, in his hand, and says, well, just do a little bit less than the word of God says, well, that's easy to do, isn't it? We don't mind doing that, do we? But rebellion, it's just as bad as witchcraft. Why? What's the point of the comparison with witchcraft and idolatry? Well, it is because anything that comes between us and obedience to God is really setting that thing up as being equal or even more important than God, isn't it? If we have an idol, then our heart is turned away from God. We're thinking too much of that thing, not enough of God. That's why this comparison is set before us in the scriptures. This is why I feel it so solemnly, and I wish I personally was more obedient. But I do feel this great solemnity about rebellion, about not doing the word of the Lord my God, either more or less. Now, the scriptures do not give us any indication that this is an easy thing to put into practice, do they? I was thinking about Samuel. We're not told exactly how old Samuel was, but comparing one scripture with another, I would think that he was probably something like 10 years old. Can't be sure, but something like that. When God first spoke to him, and you'll remember the message really that God gave to Samuel. It was a very solemn message, wasn't it, about the judgment that would come upon the house of Eli, because his sons, as it said, his sons made themselves vile. They sinned, they polluted the office of the priesthood, and Eli did nothing to restrain them. And God said he would judge his house for that. Now, you may remember how that Eli called Samuel in the morning and said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." How could this little lad deliver such a message to the priest Eli? Not easy, was it? We're not to think that Samuel felt it to be an easy thing. I'm sure he didn't. But he was faithful. We read, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He could not go beyond the word of the Lord his God, to do less, you see. It must have been very tempting, mustn't it, to omit part of that message, to maybe add to it something that was a bit more comforting. But no, he couldn't do that. He had to faithfully deliver the message that he had been given from God. And of course, as we know, much grace was also given to Eli to receive that message. It is the Lord, he said, let him do what seemeth him good. Now, wouldn't it be good if we had such a spirit more frequently? Well, really, if we had it all the time, whatever the word of the Lord to us is, let him do it. We acknowledge his right, his power, that we acknowledge that what he does is always right. Let him do it. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now, it is evident from the word of God, isn't it, that this should be the whole manner of our life. The children of Israel had, of course, been delivered out of Egypt, and symbolically, of course, that means they were brought out from the law, out of the sinful nation of Egypt, brought by Moses to the border of the Promised Land. And of course, the Promised Land really represents the gospel day, doesn't it? The preaching and the experience, really, of the gospel. I know it is sometimes used to depict heaven, but I don't personally feel that's really very scriptural. There was sin in the Promised Land. There was fighting. There was backsliding. None of that will be in heaven, will it? But it does very clearly represent the way that the believer must live under the gospel. And the book of Deuteronomy, that of course follows this book of Numbers, is really a rehearsal. I think the word Deuteronomy, I think if memory serves, means a second giving, really, or a second reading. And it was Moses' rehearsal to the children of Israel of all that God had done for them over the previous 40 years in the wilderness. But it went beyond just looking back. It went to looking forward to how they must live in the Promised Land. And we read this, his exhortation to them at the beginning of chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Moses says this, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them." Notice that. Don't just memorize them. The Pharisees were very good at memorizing all these different statutes, and as I say, they went beyond what God had said, but they didn't do them. It wasn't in their heart, as it were, to keep them in spirit. Now Moses says that he is teaching them for this purpose, for you to do them, that ye may live and go in to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And then, in fact, Moses does refer back to this period where of their dealings with Balaam, and shows how God's judgment was against him and against any that followed him. But my point is this, ye shall not add unto the word, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Didn't Jesus say, my commandments are not grievous? Didn't say they are easy. But he did say they're not grievous. Now, we have this clear command then, if we are under the gospel, as it were, that we are to keep and to do the word of God in every way. But there are really promises, aren't there, to the Lord's people, because it's not an easy thing to do. There are promises that God has made to give the necessary help. And that's a wonderful blessing. We're not on our own, as it were, in trying to keep the word of the Lord. He gives help. He gives grace to do it. Joshua, of course, was the one who was appointed to succeed Moses in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua felt very clearly, didn't he, his own insufficiency to do that. But we read, it's a wonderful chapter, isn't it, the first chapter of the book of Joshua, how God makes it very clear that just as he had been with Moses. Now remember, Joshua was a very close attendant upon Moses. He was Moses' servant. He knew, we might say, exactly what God had been to Moses. And God's word to him was, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Well, that must have been very comforting, mustn't it? Very encouraging for Joshua. But also, you see, we cannot do less and we cannot do more. Notice also, Joshua would have been very well aware of the judgment of God when Moses sinned. That it was the very fact that Moses had been angry and had struck that rock in anger when he was told only to speak to it, that was the very reason that Joshua was being raised up to succeed him. That was why God would not permit Moses to come into the promised land. So, as I was with Moses, oh yes, the judgment of God, the pureness, the holiness of God is just the same with Joshua as it was with Moses. He didn't give Joshua license to do less or more than his word, just as he had not given Moses license to do less or more. Yes, his strength, his comfort, his help would be the same, but so would his requirement be for Joshua to do exactly what he had been told by God. Now God says to him, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You see, it's a slightly different figure, isn't it, to turning to the left or the right, but really it's just we could use that as an illustration of doing less or more. Either way, it means a deviation from the word that God has spoken, and it's not to be done. God would give Joshua the strength and the courage that he would need, but he would need it, because it wouldn't be easy. And it's not an easy thing to follow the word of God, but it's a requirement. And I have felt this so much. In many ways, I would rather not have brought a word like this to you. It would be, in that sense, easier to speak of something else, but I cannot do that. That's why, really, I read on into chapter 23. You see again Balaam saying the right thing. Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Or to speak what God has given. It's a very precious blessing, isn't it? To speak of what God has done. And God will give those words. Take with you words, says the prophet, and turn to the Lord. Now, though it's difficult, though it is hard for us to put into practice, again, we have another very faithful, very wonderful promise from God of the help that he will give, that he will continue to guide in the way. In Isaiah's prophecy, in chapter 30, we read this, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, again, these are symbols of the difficulties that lie in the way, yet, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Again, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. In other words, when you're trying to do more or trying to do less, the word is, no, this is the way. Walk ye in it, in this way. Not a way of your own choosing, not a path that you think is going to be easier, but to do the word of the Lord, to follow it fully and directly, as it were. You think in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress of the problems, the difficulties that Christian and his companions came into when they went into Bypath Meadow. In other words, when they tried to circumvent the word of the Lord, he set before them a clear path, and they thought, well, no, this looks easier, this would be more comfortable. And what trouble they brought upon themselves, didn't they? Yes, the Lord did deliver them out of it, but they were so full of fear and so much that hindered them because they turned to the left or to the right. They didn't follow what God had said. And we know something of this, and I'm sure others know as well in our experience, when we do try to do more or less than the word of the Lord requires of us, what trouble we bring upon ourselves, what difficulties we come into. And maybe that cry goes up in our heart, really, a complaint. Why? Why is this so hard? Why am I in such trouble? Well, is it not because we've turned aside? Because we've not done the word that God has made known to us? I feel this so much, and as I say, I truly don't come to find fault, but to encourage. But there is so much, isn't there, of this spirit, that we know what God has said. We know what his commandments are, and we don't do it. Or we're really, in that sense, we're no better than Balaam, no better than this hypocrite, are we? We wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to defy the word of God. We wouldn't say, well, I know God has instructed me to do this, but I'm going to just do something else. We wouldn't dare say that, would we? But it's what we do. It's what we practice. But even this man, he knew. I don't think we're wrong in any way to use his words, though, as I've said, he didn't know this in his heart, but he spoke the truth. There's such a connection, really, in my mind with him and the Pharisees. So often the Pharisees spoke the truth, didn't they? but they didn't practice it. They didn't know it in their heart. Again, it's a very good case of what we call a head knowledge. That is a knowledge that's purely in our mind as to what the truth is without experiencing it in our hearts. The fact that it was the Pharisees who said, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" doesn't mean that's not a valid statement, does it? That was perfectly true. We know only God can forgive sins, though it was spoken by the Pharisees. They said, didn't they, it's been a great blessing really to me, that word that they said at the just before Jesus was crucified, "His blood be on us and on our children." Well, they meant it in a very derisory fashion, didn't they? They were saying, "We don't care if he's an innocent man. We'll take the consequences." Very awful, the spirit that they said it, but the words are wonderful, aren't they? What a prayer that is. Now, it was Mary, wasn't it, the mother of Jesus, at that wedding in Cana in Galilee, who spoke to the servants. Remember how that they had no wine, and Mary clearly was full of faith in what Jesus could do there. It was humanly an impossible situation, wasn't it? And when he actually gave instruction to fill the water pots with water and to go and bear them to the governor of the feast, naturally, I say it reverently, but naturally, it was a foolish thing to do, wasn't it? Their whole instinct would be not to do that. Think what trouble they would get into by presenting to the governor of the feast water when he'd required wine. This was a dangerous thing, a difficult thing for them to do. But what did Mary say to the servants? "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Don't quibble. Don't say, "Well, my logic tells me that would be foolish." Don't say, "Well, I can see the dangers. Supposing he doesn't fulfill the word. Supposing he doesn't support me, as it were, in my time of need." Doesn't say it at all. Whatsoever. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Not do more. Don't do less. Do whatsoever he saith unto you. Do you know this morning what the Lord is saying to you? That your heart is so full of objections, one kind and another, so full of doubts and fears and unbelief, so full maybe of rebellion outright. All of those things are rebellion, but I mean outright rebellion. I will not do it. Doesn't suit me. Oh, what a word this is, isn't it? I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, any failure in this regard, anything that does less or that does more is of sin, isn't it? But Paul writes very encouragingly, I think, to the Roman church. They were not by any means perfect, were they? But he writes to them, "For ye are for sin shall not have dominion over you." All that rebellion, all those doubts, it's not to have dominion. It's not to say that we don't experience it, but it's not to be the thing that overcomes. What is to be the thing that overcomes? God and his word. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Just going back to what we said, that's really the deliverance out of Egypt, isn't it? And no longer being under Moses as a representative of the law, but under grace in the promised land, under Joshua, type of Jesus Christ. You are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Shall we do less or more? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. And this is it really, isn't it? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What a wonderful thing it is, isn't it, when the heart that has been rebellious and disobedient to God is made willing to obey. We read, don't we, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Yes, it is the power of God that overcomes all that sin, all that reluctance, all that rebellion, to make the heart willing to serve him, to serve righteousness, to serve the way that is right and proper, no longer to be left in sin, trying to do less than the word of God, or trying to do more than that, but just whatsoever he saith, do it. Oh, that we might have grace given to us to put this into practice. And so this is a long account of Balaam, and it's there for a purpose, isn't it? It's there for a warning. We cannot say that we are not warned. There are many lights, as it were, in the scriptures, aren't there? And really, in a sense, there are two kinds of light. Often think of it in this way. There are the harbour lights. There are those lights that we're to steer towards. In other words, there are the examples of those in the scripture where we must follow their example. We must try to come to that place where they were. But then there are also lights like the lighthouses. Now that's a light to steer away from, isn't it? The sailors don't steer toward a lighthouse because it's warning them that there are rocks there. It's a light to keep away from. Now Balaam is a lighthouse. Balaam is a light that is left on record for us so that we may take heed to it and steer away from his example. Yes, we want to be so far brought where he was but in the words that he spoke, but we want to say it from the heart. We want to say it out of faith. We want to pray what he said, but we want it to be a prayer in our heart, don't we? Let me die the death of the righteous. But also to have it in our heart to do what God has said, to put into practice exactly, not more, not less, not turning to the left hand or to the right, but doing exactly what God has made known to us. Well, may the Lord give us that strength and guidance. May he give us the encouragement that we need to do this. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £715, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Woolboys will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we do pray that thou wilt overcome all those hindrances, all those obstacles that are in our way, maybe just in our heart, maybe things that we have imagined, but Lord, do cast them out and enable us truly to come unto thee in all our times of need, in every distress, oh Lord, that we might follow thy word, that we might heed the things that thou hast said. So, Lord, give us that grace and strengthen our faith to not only know but to do thy will. And may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.